Hallelujah. Elisha not in heaven, not in much better. All those millions and millions and millions of saints praising God. Heaven will be all God, and we'll be enjoying Him all the time. Hallelujah. I'd like to draw your attention this morning to this fourth chapter of the book of the prophet Daniel. I'll just read the first three verses of the chapter. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Before I preach, may I say, it's a pleasure to be with you again. Praise God. And Emily has asked me to convey her love to you all. And I sometimes forget, but I have to write it down. But I've written it down this morning. And it's lovely to be with you. And I hope God will bless what I have to say to you. God did signs and wonders toward King Nebuchadnezzar. How great are His signs! How mighty are His wonders! I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. Signs are things or events which have special significance. And what has been recorded here in this chapter are signs. Things that happened which are of special significance. Wonders are things that cause wonder, cause men to be astonished. And I suppose if you read this chapter, you can be astonished. You ought to be astonished by what is recorded in it. And of course, if you'd witnessed the events, you'd be even more astonished, as Nebuchadnezzar was. Signs and wonders. And in this chapter, we have the details of these signs and wonders, and then we also have the purpose of these signs and wonders. The great sign and wonder was the dream which King Nebuchadnezzar had one night on his bed. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a man's let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream, I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now there's the details of the dream. But then we have the interpretation of the dream. This dream had great significance. Nebuchadnezzar naturally wanted to know the interpretation of the dream. And he called for the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. But they could not interpret the dream. Totally perplexed by it. But eventually Daniel came in. And Daniel was able to give the king the interpretation of the dream. And he was able to tell him, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, and whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, etc., etc. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. This tree represents you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. The dream contained a prediction of something terrible that was going to happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was astonished, or astonished, he's got here, astonished for an hour. He was staggered when he heard the dream and realized what it meant. And he said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Your enemies will rejoice. This will sound good news to them, but this terrible thing is going to happen to you. Also in the dream it was said, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. The stump was to remain after the tree was hewn down. And this, of course, was very significant. The meaning was this, that whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou should have known that the heavens do rule. There's going to be a happy sequel to this. Though something terrible is going to happen to you, yet your kingdom will be secure, and you will be restored to it, after all this has taken place. And we have the record in this chapter that the dream was fulfilled exactly as had been said. At the end of 12 months, the king was walking in the palace. Oh, he heard a voice from heaven. This was a remarkable thing as well, wasn't it? Not only the dream, but a voice from heaven. This doesn't happen to everybody, does it? O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass of oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. and he was driven from men, and he'd eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. This is what happened to him. And if you had lived in those days, and you had encountered this strange creature among the wild beasts, you could have said with astonishment, "See that strange, horrible creature, frightening creature, grotesque creature. Do you know that he was once a king? He once sat upon a throne. His head once wore a crown. That creature was once arrayed in royal robes. His servants went at his word and did his bidding without question. He was a king of a vast domain." What a wonder. And if you had been Daniel, you could have also said this. "See that strange creature? There among the wild beasts, feeding on grass." "See his hairs grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. That creature shall one day sit upon a throne and rule over a vast empire. His counselors will come to him and seek his advice. His officers will take their commands from him, and he shall rule." What a wonder. This fourth chapter of Daniel is a record of signs and wonders which God did to King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, then, what was the purpose of all these signs and wonders? The purpose of these signs and wonders was to make known the truth of the sovereignty of God. This truth, that God is sovereign, was to be made known through these signs and wonders. They happened so that King Nebuchadnezzar should know the truth of the sovereignty of God. "They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." You think you are a great king, Nebuchadnezzar? You are. But I tell you, there is a greater king, the Lord God Almighty. God wants you to know this truth. And also, God wanted this truth to be known by others. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." These things happen so that Nebuchadnezzar should know the truth of the sovereignty of God, and also that the living, that is, people living upon the earth, should know that God is sovereign. The angels in heaven know it. God wants man to know it. That God is sovereign. There are believers upon earth who know and understand the truth of the sovereignty of God at this present time. Thank God. The redeemed in heaven are perfectly they know perfectly this truth. John tells us in the book of the Revelation that a door was opened in heaven. And what did you see, John? Behold, a throne, and him that sat upon it. A throne is the seat of a king. God is the king of heaven. That's what this throne represents. And the redeemed in glory, this is what they say. Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigneth. God is king. He is enthroned. He is sovereign. He reigns. That is what we mean by the sovereignty of God. And in eternity, true believers will rejoice in this fact. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Every blessing that comes to believers flows from the throne of God. Every blessing that we enjoy is entirely given to us because of the sovereignty of God. Because God has been pleased to bless us. Now Nebuchadnezzar, he learned this truth. How great are his signs and wonders. How mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I know it. And his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar learned the lesson. This is what he was supposed to learn. And here he is confessing it. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion from generation to generation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. I know that the Lord God Almighty, the God of Daniel, is the King of heaven. His dominion is an everlasting dominion from generation to generation. Now Nebuchadnezzar learned this marvelous, beautiful, wonderful truth the hard way. What a lesson he had. What an experience. But he learned the lesson. He learned it the hard way. There are men who do not believe in the sovereignty of God. Wicked men who will be damned. They'll know about the sovereignty of God when they end up in hell. They'll know then who rules. And God makes no reward. And casts them into utter darkness. They'll learn the hard way the truth of the sovereignty of God. But men upon earth can't learn the truth of the sovereignty of God in a far better way. We can learn it by reading the Holy Bible. Read this chapter. Here it is, set forth before us. And you can learn this truth from this chapter. Read the Bible and believe what it says. The truth of the sovereignty of God is declared throughout Scripture. We can learn this truth and learn it more fully as we listen to God's Word being expounded. True servants of God should be expounding this truth. And we can learn it more fully by listening to sound teaching. We can also learn it more fully by our own experience. Those of us who love the truth of the sovereignty of God, we can see it in our own lives. We can see the way that God has dealt with us. And we can see that His hand has been ruling and guiding in our lives. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He can do what He likes. He is the Almighty God. He said to Abram long ago, I am the Almighty God. That's who I am. The Almighty God. May I say it with fervence, our God is no weakling. He is the Almighty God. He can do what He likes. And our God is immutable. That means He never changes. He's always been the Almighty. He who said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God, is still the God whom we are worshipping this morning. He's always been the Almighty. He always will be. I am the Lord. I change not, He says. Oh, how wicked is our world! God has made His power known through creation. In 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. What a mighty God He is! He made the earth, the sun, and the moon, and all those millions and millions and millions of stars. Look up at creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And wicked men are proclaiming this lie of evolution as if it was the truth. They even call it science. It's ridiculous nonsense. God, the Almighty God, created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. The Apostle Paul tells us, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God has written this truth all about us, that God is, that His power is eternal, that He is God. And atheists and agnostics have no excuse for being so. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not have to make any apologies for our God. We do not have to make any apologies for this book. It is God's Word. Nobody will be ashamed on the day of judgment to believe that God created the earth in 6 days. No one will be ashamed to acknowledge on the day of judgment that God is the Creator. God is the Almighty. The Lord Jesus Christ said, with God, all things are possible. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. This is our God. This is our God. God is absolutely sovereign. He does what he likes. And nobody can stop him. To Moses is revealed, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Every inhabitant of the earth needs the mercy of God. Without it they will perish in the flames of hell. But God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will decide to whom I will bestow mercy. He is absolutely sovereign. Our God is a great King. He is the King of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar learned his lesson. And this is what he confessed. I bless the Most High. And I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is absolutely sovereign. He rules in heaven. He does what he likes. And nobody can stop him. He does what he likes among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can say to him, what do you think you're doing? This is our God. He's absolutely sovereign. We have this remarkable verse in the book of Proverbs. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Kings are in the highest position among men, but their hearts are in the hands of God, and he does what he likes with them. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it wherever soever he will. God said to Moses, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And so it is recorded in the Old Testament concerning Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. God reveals truth to whom he will, and hides it from whom he will. And our Lord Jesus Christ said, I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, as though it seemed good in thy sight, I am quite content. My dear brothers and sisters, there are people outside today who will call us fools and babes and stupid. They've got it wrong. If God has revealed your truth to you, his truth to you, you are the ones who are wise. And they were stupid. Thanks be to God if God has revealed his truth to you. God is sovereign in history. This world is not rushing on its way out of control. God is in control. When I was a young Christian who used to sing a chorus, God is still on the throne and he will look after his own. It is a most comforting truth. God is in control of history. Nebuchadnezzar was to be taught that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. The people who are in control, they might have won elections, they might have got into their positions by all sorts of different methods, but they are there because God has put them there. It is to God they owe their position. And I don't know what you think, but some politicians, to me, these words sum exactly up exactly what they are. God giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. It isn't George Bush or Tony Blair or Mr. Putin who is in charge of the world. They're only in their positions because God has put them there. And he can take them away just as easy as he put them there. He giveth it to whomsoever he will. God is absolutely sovereign in history. History is the unfolding of the purpose of our sovereign God. We might not understand some of the things that have happened, but this we do know, that God is in control. It is not the devil who is in control. Thank God. It is not men who are in control, but it is our God who loves us who is in control. He is in control of providence. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Everything is happening exactly as God intended it to happen. Now there are many things we do not understand. In the future we shall know, even as we are known. And God is absolutely sovereign in salvation. God has decided who will go to heaven and who will not. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. He's absolutely sovereign. You'll find that verse in Romans chapter 9. Do you not decide who shall come into your home? Why should not God decide who shall go into heaven and who shall not? That is the truth of the matter. He is absolutely sovereign. Now God wanted people on earth to know this truth of his sovereignty. This is happening to you, Nebuchadnezzar, that you learn this truth, and it's happening to you too, that the living may know that others may know. And indeed, Nebuchadnezzar, you see, he addresses this account unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. I want everybody to know what God has taught me. That He is sovereign. And here's my story. Here's my story. Here's my testimony. There are people on earth who know and love this truth about the sovereignty of God. If you understand this truthfully, then it is of the mercy of God that you understand it. Thou hast revealed these things unto babes, said the Lord Jesus Christ. If you understand these truths, it is because God has revealed them to you. If you believe the truth of the sovereignty of God, and you meet other people who deny it, who maketh thee to differ from another? You've got nothing to be proud about. If you really understand the truth of the sovereignty of God, it will humble you. And if you see other people who say, well, I don't believe that, I don't care what the Bible says, I don't believe that, you've nothing to be proud about. You can say, there go I, but for the grace of God. It is of God's mercy. In His sovereign mercy, He has taught me this truth. And that's why I believe it. That's why I embrace it. That's why I love it. That's why I can't deny it. Now, the servants of God who proclaim this truth, this is what the Bible has to say about them. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them, of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth! God's servants should preach the truth of the sovereignty of God. And how beautiful are the feet of they that do. They are to be commended. They who proclaim to God's people, our God is sovereign. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. God's people should believe this truth. It is clearly taught in Scripture. They should confess it, like Nebuchadnezzar. Yes, I know, says Nebuchadnezzar, that his kingdom ruleth over all. I have learned it the hard way. I know it is true. I confess it. In the book of Psalms it says this, Our God is in the heavens, Psalm 115 and verse 3. Our God, whom we worship, our God, is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. He's done what he likes, and he will keep on doing that. And nobody can stop him. And we rejoice in this. Our God reigns. Belief of this truth should cause us to praise God. I don't think there is any other truth that will so cause our hearts to be uplifted in praise to God as we are humbled in the dust to realize the mercy of God to us in His sovereignty. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. I praise Him and extol Him. He is such a great God. Our God is a great God. He's absolutely sovereign Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He pleased. This should lead us to praise Him and worship Him and extol Him. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. I make no apologies for my God. This is my God. He does what He likes. Whatever He does is right. He never makes any mistakes. Nobody can stop Him. On the other hand, it says in my Bible, woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. Woe unto him that takes up his cudgels against this great God. It's no contest. My brothers and sisters, it is lovely to cast ourselves in the dust at the feet of Almighty God, acknowledging how great thou art. My God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He pleased. Now the truth of the sovereignty of God is of great comfort to believers. If you understand this truth, I can say without shadow of contradiction, it is the most comforting truth that I know. All things work together for good to them that love God. God is in control. He's doing what He likes. And because He loves me, and I know He loves me because I love Him, then everything that happens, it doesn't matter. There is no such thing as bad news for me or any believer. Even bad news is good news to the believer, because all things are working together for good to them that love God. What is more, this is our great God, the King of heaven, the King of all the earth. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God, this great God, be for us, who can be against us? We can throw out the challenge. The answer we will get is silence. God is on our side. We cannot lose. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Is not this most comforting? Nothing can go wrong. I do want to just finish with a word of warning. It does say in the Bible, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion. When a king was angry, the people trembled. What about this great king, the Lord God Almighty? Moses confessed to God, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Who knows the power? In the New Testament it says this, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The wrath of this great God, whose anger we cannot measure. We cannot promise its depth. Oh, woe to them that defy him. Woe to him that striveth with his Maker. Because he is the Lord God Almighty, the great King of heaven and of earth. Now, we should be brought all to realize that that is the position We are not in a position to dictate to God. We need His mercy. And this truth should lead sinners to that point when they say, "Oh God, I'm entirely dependent upon Your mercy. You can decide whether I go to heaven or hell. In fact, You've already decided." Now, if you come to that position, it's a good position to come to. Because then you can do this. You can cry to God, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And if this truth of the sovereignty of God rings those words from our lips, I tell you, we are truly blessed. If you pray like that, and repent of your sins, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall most certainly be saved. There is no doubt about it. This is what it says in the Old Testament. "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Throw away all those thoughts that oppose the sovereignty of God, that oppose the truth of the sovereignty of God. Let the unrighteous man forsake his way, his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Come back to God, trembling, crying to God, "Oh God, great God, have mercy upon me, a sinner." And if you do, let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy. If any sinner will come to this great God in this way, repenting of his sins, craving mercy, calling upon the name of the Lord, he shall have mercy. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Oh, if there is anyone here today who fears that it is not well with their soul, I beseech you right now, come to this God, repenting of your sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to save to the uttermost all those that come to God by Him. However great your sins, and you might think, if God brings you under conviction of your sins, that your sins are too great to be forgiven, I can tell you they are not. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is too hard with Him. However great your sins, if you will repent of them, God will have mercy upon you and save you.